Welcome back to Digesting 1899. We're tackling the Netflix series 1899 one episode at a time. For this podcast, we watched episode 7, The Storm, the penultimate episode of 1899 of season 1, or maybe ever. We do not know. And we're here to talk all about it. And I'm Zach Brooks, and I'm joined by the Elliot to my Daniel, Aaron Brooks.
I don't know if that's who I am. Make me your Elliot. Your fake son?
I think he's a real son. I think he's a real son who's dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The one now is like a computer.
Oh, yeah, like a
A little too much.
Good. Well, if Elliot had a brother, I could have used that. It would have been a more apt comparison. But there, you know, I had to stretch on this one.
Yeah.
Lots of pairings in this one to choose from, but none that
pairings
rips.
Being tragically ripped apart.
Yes. Well, we're going to get into it, but I have one question that I'm like, this just came out of nowhere in this episode a little bit. So we're going through 1899. We have one more episode after this to talk through, and then maybe we'll be back for, if there's a season two, we'll be back, but you know, maybe, because we don't know. I haven't heard anything about a renewal yet, or if this was even intended to be renewal and the loop to continue, or if this is just a, you know, one and done type thing on Netflix. But you know, stay subscribed because there might be another show we'll do sometime in the future. And send us your feedback, digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. Or if you're listening on Spotify, you should just be able to click, send feedback or something on the episode. And I get an email that says somebody sent you a Spotify episode. Or Spotify question on the episode. All right. Penultimate episode. We're almost to the finale. Yes. What are you thinking?
I feel a little mixed at this point. It feels like so long ago. I was saying in like the first couple episodes how it felt like a simulation, and it seems like they're making it really obvious. And like then they just decide to like call it what it is now. And like I don't know why they didn't do this sooner, I guess, because by this point
it doesn't feel like a surprise.
Right, which feels intentional, but like okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little, I don't know, I'm feeling a little bit lost at this point, feeling a little bit down from the weather, the stormy weather, the storm.
Well, we had nice weather in the archive, I guess is what they're calling it, which is like the graveyard of past simulations.
Right.
We got a lot of reveals in this, a lot of things told to us. We have a whole other episode to go. I'll be curious if there are more twists along the way. I would imagine that there's one or two twists along the way still. The first thing is, I'm sure you loved the exit song this week or this episode.
I've continued to love them.
But as such a big, I mean, you have a Harold and Maude poster right behind you.
Yeah, of course, the song, Cat Stevens.
Yeah, The Wind by Cat Stevens.
Yeah, which was I had not heard before, so it was definitely...
I've heard it, and I couldn't place what I've heard it in, some show or movies or something. But so this one is not a song that's in Harold and Maude?
No, I don't, not that, I don't believe it is, at least. I loved hearing the Cat Stevens, of course, and I still, like, enjoy what's happening with the show. I just feel like the show's, like, kind of catching up to me, which is not always something... I'm used to experience.
Well, if you would have binged through it in the first weekend, maybe you wouldn't have had time to really sit down and think through it. And maybe it would work better as a binge because some of these surprises. I still think there's what we're getting is not quite cards on the table. Yeah. I think there's more.
No, we don't have all the answers yet. Exactly. And
I think Ike is a lot more important than he was given in this episode. We only saw Ike in the last scene. And I wondered if we were going to even see him at all. I thought that once again, I thought the episode was going to end with the boat going down the whirlpool. And
which was a great shot. Great scene with Ling Yi.
Finally getting the whirlpool that we've seen in the art for this show. Finally seeing the, and then we see the boat come out on the other side. It's in the archive where that's where we saw Ike. You know, we mentioned at the last episode that we saw Ike and the Rallos boats all around him. And we do see Ike sitting there drinking his whiskey, and then all of a sudden he hears something, and it's the boat arriving. Yep. And the whole episode, I'm just thinking, okay, whatever Daniel did for Ike, wherever he sent him with those, with his remote, which he did give a name for the remote. I have to.
I thought he just said my device.
Yeah, he did, but then he called it something.
I didn't catch that.
It's. I have so many notes, I just can't find it.
Yeah.
But I thought wherever he sent Ike, you know, was like the key. That was like the key change this time to break the loop, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And because this has happened dozens of times before. And that's what all the other boats are. So, right.
You know, but Captain Ike is the key. If you rearrange the letters of Ike.
Oh,
key.
Oh, yes. Nice. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. I could see, you know, we're seeing an actual key, right? That Mara has that the key.
There's a lot of talk about keys in this.
Right. Episode. Yeah. There's the key. There's the code as well. Yeah, because Ike is kind of a strange name too, so it would make sense that it's been sitting in front of us the whole time that Key is the Key is his name scrambled, and he's the Key, he's whatever is changing things.
Yeah.
So, the people that we have left, because we lost a lot of characters, like you said, we had these pairs, and almost what did every pair lose their kind of corresponding person in the pair?
Yeah, or with Tove, she lost her two.
Just her parents. And it's okay. So the Tove is the one that I had the question about. Why is it significant that Tove and Franz are like the shoes as Franz? Like they had not had any interaction before this point in the show, had they?
No. I mean, they had communicated quite a few times. Franz is who let Tove in to see her sister and let her take Ada back to her family.
Okay.
I think Franz is really kind of actually been more connected with them than's led on, partially because he speaks their at least some of their languages.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that was totally out of nowhere. It's like Franz had to have somebody to have this Chewbacca like moment of he was Chewbacca the whole time.
Yeah, there's a moment in Alias very similar to this as well.
The deaths were all happening so quickly that for me, with it being a simulation and with it being in a loop, it just didn't feel like we're saying goodbye to these characters. I almost was in a rush for this to happen and be like, mm-hmm. Okay. When Oleg went overboard, I'm like, well, we're seeing Oleg again. Like, that's not the end.
There's no stakes and impact because you know that it's just going to restart.
Yeah. And also, there's a movie I saw a few years ago that this is much better than, but called Serenity with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, I never saw that, but
they give away the twist of something with the movie about a third of the way through. Like they start showing like a very specific trope on the screen and like accused where it's like, okay. And then they wait another third of the movie until they give away this reveal. And they're like, it's this. And the other two people who I saw this in the theater, yeah, we know. Like, and we start having a conversation in the theater, the four of us. Like, can you believe this movie? And that it's like, and I'm worried that's what's happening here. I don't think it's quite what's happening here. There's still a lot of questions that remain to be answered, but I really need to see the next loop beginning in the next episode. Because if this is a multi-season type of deal, I need to see what the next loop looks like a little bit before it's just – I can't have the twist going into the next season be a new loop is beginning and have regenerated.
Well, I wonder if the next loop, as I was watching this – we are going to get a next loop, and I think we're going to get at least one character who has knowledge of this loop because of what they changed, and whether it's Ike or whether it's Mara.
Or is it multiple characters now? And then we see how that affects
them. Yeah. It's reminding me a lot of Westworld, right? Where we're starting to have characters that are waking up to the reality that they're in, mm-hmm. and they're in these loops,
right.
Which I like Westworld. I don't need to see Westworld again. I don't need to see
what the other thing. It reminds, and as we keep going through the show, we've had the discussions from the beginning of how it reminds us of Dark, how it reminds us of Lost. I mean, it reminds me of another show that dealt with VR, dealt with alternate realities, with The Boy and with...
Yes.
Do you want to get into this?
Well, I think the fact that the boy's name is Elliot...
Yes.
Yeah, that like was like a flashing red beacon to me. That,
right, go ahead.
The connection to that show.
Yeah, so what were you... go ahead, you can kind of take it.
Well, just that, you know, just that the main character in Mr. Robot is named Elliot.
Yeah, not only that, so there's that show, we have the Mr. Robot. There's another show from FX that premiered a couple, I think a year ago, with Devs. And that whole show dealt with going into a virtual reality to live in that world because of a tragedy that happened with your kid. That's what Mora is doing. It's pretty clear at this point to me that Mora is denying reality. At least that's my theory. She's denying reality and accepting living in this virtual reality simulation world where she can have her son, who something tragic happened with her son in the real world. And that caused her to lose her son. But I just think it's weird. Like, that conversation with Daniel was weird to me at the beginning, where he's like, oh, it's a fake memory, which makes me think maybe it's not a fake memory that she doesn't remember. Maybe she really didn't have this kid. And, like, who is Henry? Is Henry real? Like, Henry's the one we have so little information about.
Like, he Henry, not like Henrietta, this... right? Like Qyburn.
Okay. Yes.
So, yeah, I think that there's a lot. So you think this is Mara's, like, Mara set up the simulation for herself?
Yeah, this is all in Mara's head.
Okay.
And the other thing, the other big rabbit hole that I went down this week, so I've had my Greek mythology lesson. This week it was literature. When they're going into they're going into the mineshaft of Mora, I believe it's the Sebastian who is going in.
I forgot what his name was. I kept writing first man. Everybody told me his name. Okay, Sebastian.
I'll write and I believe it's Sebastian who notices a book on the ground next
to... We see it a couple times, yes.
And it's Awakening by Kate Chopin. I decided to do the responsible thing and go onto YouTube and watch a 13-minute summary on Awakening.
Okay.
This deals with a lot of imagery of the sea with women and it representing freedom.
Okay.
Also deals with women going against gender norms and the freedoms that creates and also the problems that creates. So going back to Clemens putting on the pants, talking about that, we see Clemens shoveling the coal this episode that and being one of the boys. Like, you just see the gender norms are melting away. It doesn't matter. Awakenings just over and over again. The sea is represented throughout the, and then it ends up ending in tragedy for the main character because she breaks the norms and breaks out of the system she's a part of, but it results in her drowning in the sea.
And we see that the Awakenings a lot, or at least twice, right? Mara sees it and Sebastian sees it.
Yes.
And the camera really lingers on it. I think when Sebastian sees it, he's sort of like a little taken aback when he sees it, like a little surprised to see that, like, as somebody who seems like he's in the know about everything.
Could you check real quick when Awakenings was just released?
The Awakening, not Awakenings.
Or The Awakening. Sorry, Awakenings is the movie.
Right. I was like, is that the same? Yeah, so The Awakening. That's
which
good,
is
that's
not
a good
based
question.
On the Robin Williams movie.
No. It was published in, originally published in 1899.
When? What month? Does it say the month?
I don't know. This is what Google recently.
So this is like it's a new book at worst, because this is in October of 1899.
No, it just says originally published in 1899. Okay. It doesn't have a month.
Okay.
So.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, that's okay,
but
that's
that
really
that book, and when you learn about the story, it seems like the complete influence for the show. And everything the show talks about.
There's a picture on, I don't know. So there's a picture that they keep seeing that they see in, I think it's in Ike's, right above Ike's mineshaft, right?
Yeah.
And, or was it above Daniel's? Not above Ike's, above Daniel's. And it's like an old picture. And I couldn't tell if that was supposed to be, Mara or just some other woman. Did you notice this picture? They show this picture a couple times too.
Yeah, it was hard to tell.
Like, yeah, like they didn't show it close enough to really know who it was. Okay, actually, so publication date. So this is weird. The book was published in 1899, but it says publication date April 22nd, 1900. So I don't know if it was like originally published. And
so maybe Sebastian is looking at this because it's another example of someone like Daniel coming from the future.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, you know, maybe a future Mara is coming into this. Or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really confused about the time when this show takes, like the time, not when the boat takes place, but the time when everything else is taking place.
Yeah, because it feels like Henry is in the 70s.
But also in the future.
But there's also a future, right? But no, it feels like Henry's in the 70s. I think, if I'm thinking right now, I think Henry's probably completely fake. Mm-hmm. And part like a made up from the simulation. And so he's probably going to another simulation world where this pyramid world is. I don't think that's the real world. I think that's this offshoot simulation world.
I guess he's not in the hospital, right? He's somewhere else.
He's
right?
in a simulation of a simulation.
Yeah.
And I think Sebastian, they're all part of the program. So mm-hmm. they exist only in the simulation. They don't exist outside of the simulation. I think the rest of these people, like Ling Yi, Mora, all these other people who are seeing Tove, they're all people from the future who are involved in this simulation, who've all been part of some trauma that makes them part of this group therapy session. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like over and over again.
I do think that the people who are remaining are dealing with some sort, like everybody's.
And they're all real people who are in the simulation. They're going to be part of the next simulation too. They're part of every simulation. And what they're seeing, what Henry is seeing, is how long it takes it for all of them to wake up. And so for Henry, he believes, because he's a computer, because he's from a code, he's like, oh, these human emotions, I don't mm-hmm. understand. So it's the battle of logic versus emotion.
Right. And what he says, love too, right?
He's like love, anger, and what else? Something else.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about how they all,
like, emotions, you know, they always
make the same,
lead to
the
they
make the same mistake, right? He's like very, like, very Jedi.
He's talking like a robot. He's like, I just don't understand why these pesky human emotions, like, he doesn't have them himself.
And his messages are in code, right? He's getting he's getting triangles pointing, like, almost like a Konami code, right? Like, up, up, down, down, B-A-B-A. And he has the pyramid. There's a keyhole inside the pyramid as well. So we know that key that he wants, that Mara has, which is like in the locket that she got mailed to her from her brother, which, again, we still have no idea who this brother is.
Yeah, that's the biggest mystery by far.
Yeah. I still think it's maybe it's Ike. I don't know. But we do have like all these different, so to go back to all the different times, and I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but like,
yeah, it's just all over.
Yeah, this episode especially is all over the place. So the pictures of their family, of Daniel, Mara, and Elliot, they're dressed like they're from 1899. But this can't, I mean, just the technology and stuff like that, and that they have a book that was, you know, made in 1899, but like they probably wouldn't have access to it by that. Like,
we're hearing static and stuff. Like, we're hearing
the music. Yeah.
The music.
So why is the picture of them? I mean, is it that they're so far in the future that like fashion has gone back to like pilgrim fashion?
No, I don't think that the ultimate message is that fashion goes in. I don't think it's a commentary on fashion.
Yeah, is also a loop.
I think that maybe it's just part of the simulation convincing you that this is the construct you're a part of.
Okay, so yeah, and like there's a lot of talk, and we haven't even gotten into this, but there's a lot of talk of like what's reality versus like what's your brain telling you this reality? And I was thinking about like how we interpret colors and taste and smells and pain, right? That like, you know, you can read things that say like that pain is not like, it's your body's giving you this sensation of pain because of the trauma, but it's not exactly what's really happening, right? Or like that when you feel hot, it's not like it's your body telling you, it's your body's response that's like mm-hmm. striking these nerve endings to convince you. And that's kind of like the conversation that they have right at the beginning, right? That like they talk about like, does it exist or not? Or is it just a constructed reality that's in your mind? Mm-hmm. And then Mara says, constructed reality or not, I'm starving. Well, being hungry is like, you're hungry because your stomach is sending signals to your brain to say that I feel the emotion of hunger, or I feel the feeling of hunger, right? And so I really love that, like, as a concept, right? Like, what is what we're experiencing actually real versus, like, what's not necessarily we're in a simulation, but what's, like, our brain is being, like, you know, your brain is being told, is being controlled by something else and told to respond and feel certain things and trying to break out of that. So speaking of that first episode, speaking of people's clothing, it was really strange to me. Like, so we see Daniel, we start off with Daniel and Mara together in bed, and they're in this very weird room, which we go back to later. And the room is almost looks like a hotel lobby or like a hospital lobby or something. Like, it's not a bedroom, again, unless that's like the style of whatever future they're in.
Looks like they're in the pyramid. There's like angled walls.
Oh yeah, they could. I guess they could be in the pyramid.
Which again is a normal dwelling.
But we do see them go back to that too. And was that when they go back to that? Was that because they went into the pyramid or?
I don't remember, but
yeah, because I think that what they do is they go, like, when they go back to that room, and we see so many different portals. So they're outside of the castle at one point. They're outside.
Like, I noticed, and I noticed the portals had a different doors to them this time. They had like door, like, looked like ship doors of some, but not from a ship. Like,
right, because we follow Daniel as he, like, climbs.
Looked like future doors.
Right. Yeah. I'm just trying to also scroll my notes as, like, I'm talking about this, but the thing that I really noticed is the gown that Mara puts on when she says she's hungry after, like, she says she wants this moment to last forever and then she's hungry, and she gets up and she puts on, like, what could just look like a blouse or something, but it looks exactly like a hospital gown to me. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah, I did know. I noticed that too.
Yeah. So I wondered if maybe that's, you know, maybe what we're seeing there is some sort of clue that she is, you know, she's getting just like glimpses of being a patient in this hospital coming through.
Yeah. And like, and her like denying, this is not real, you're not real. Like,
right.
Just sounding like a person. And
I do wonder if Daniel is real also. I mean, we know Elliot, and we assume Elliot died or was, you know, something happened. Right. But could it be that she lost both Daniel and Elliot at the same time?
Yeah, I wonder.
And that's what she's dealing with.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we do get... I mean, this is technically, like, Daniel's flashback episode, right? Like, that's Daniel's memory as well. That opening is Daniel opening his eyes. Mm-hmm. And he's in that room.
Right.
And he says, we don't have much time or we'll die. He says, or we'll
die
again.
He could just be a patient in love with his doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of me wonders if this is some group therapy that all of the people except Mara are a part of dealing with their trauma. Mara is the doctor running this experiment and is like repressing her own trauma of losing her son. And because of that, it like broke the experiment. And now she's stuck in this loop, and she's supposed to be the captain. She's supposed to be the one guiding.
She has to remember.
Yeah. But because she's like, It's like she's taking part in this experiment, but she's supposed to be the one running it. But she's become
a patient.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would work for me.
Like, because we've had things about her being a doctor. We have, you know, Mrs. Wilson is looking for her. Like, and each of these people has some sort of loss, and except Mrs. Wilson. Does Mrs. Wilson have a loss that we really know about? We do get her
hair or anything.
Yeah. Her name is Virginia.
One of her hands.
Yes.
But nah, no.
Yeah, we do find out her name is Virginia Wilson. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel talks about the code as well, and they figure out that's the locket, or at least they tell us that that's the locket. And then kind of at that point, we're about 20 minutes to shut down, and all hell starts breaking loose, and people start dying.
Yeah.
I did find in my notes. So Daniel calls his device my shell. And I don't know if it's like one word, my shell. I figured it was like my shell. Like, it's like a shell that he uses. But he plugs that into like the little like iPad, Nintendo Switch type thing that Sebastian was using earlier to try to figure out where people are. And that's how he figures out where they hid the boy.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the portal to where the boy is being his gravestone? And you climb down and it's a... It's a bunker. It's
making it seem very apparent that he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
That this this kid died tragically. And then she stayed in the virtual world to protect his memory and not remember that he actually died. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else could it be?
I don't know. I think it's like, it's interesting because I'm thinking back to the bunker in Dark, as well as the bunker in, I think it was the OA that had those like bunkers with kids in them too, with like toys and stuff, like stuff you would put to make a kid feel more comfortable in there. And, you know, just like learning more about this kid that, you know, his name is Elliot and, you know, that he was our child. And then they talk about the false memory. So, yeah, I just think it's, I'm still like really interested in both Daniel and Ike as characters, and think that they're the, you know, if this is a loop, they're like the one, like the variable that can change this loop, which is something as a character in Lost, who's the, you know, being a variable in a loop is an important part of his storyline. So it's to have another show with a character named Daniel that I'm very intrigued by. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I don't know if this is, if it's intentional or not, but it works really well for me.
Yeah, and I do think this is definitely heading towards the second season. There's just no too many questions to answer in one episode.
Yeah, I just hope it's, I haven't heard anything about it getting multiple seasons or anything like that. I would love it if a show like this, they come in with their plan from the beginning and they tell Dark. Netflix, right, and they say this is an X number of episodes that we have like kind of Dark. Planned out. Andor, that's on right now, is they came in and they said this is, well, they originally had 5 seasons, but they're doing 2 seasons, each of 12 episodes, so 24 episodes, and they're telling one story over 24 episodes. So they have their beginning. It's just such a better way to plot a show, because you're not, you know, trying to keep the treadmill moving because you don't know how long the show's going to last, and then you're in a rush to wrap everything up by the end.
Yep. I agree. So. I think so far they've proven with their first that they did. I think they are with this, and it just doesn't feel like we're one episode. If this was 10 episodes, I would consider... Maybe, but it's 8.
Right.
There's going to be more questions after next episode, not less.
Well, I think so, because the fact that we had the one person who emailed us that said, like, I already finished the season and I was looking, like, on Reddit and I couldn't get enough.
No, we have no clue what we're in for yet. This is like almost like a prologue to The Awakening.
I mean, you know, and maybe we're, like, we get all of these different portal worlds, right? And what I liked about Daniel, and it kind of reminded me of Inception, is he's going from like portal to portal. And at one point, I think he's in a portal within a portal.
Right.
And so that was like, you know, like the inception of these portals.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't talked much about the actual storm that is, you know, the shutdown program, the siren going off, and then the boat, you know, everybody kind of going side to side in the boat, like very much like Titanic is sinking.
I mean, it looked like the Titanic the whole time. When, like, there's outside shots, it always looks like the Titanic.
Yeah. But we get, like, the old couple that is going to die, you know, that, like, is going to drown holding together.
Holding each other as the water rises. The sacrificial German.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just didn't impact me at all. That's my biggest critique of it.
Right. What about the conversation between Anchor and Ivan? Like, they talk about, you know, like, she's just still so hung up on the religion and, you know, God, this is not God's child, Tope said this is not God's child in me, and this is not God's voice. Anchor
doesn't believe it either, yet he's staying with his wife.
Yeah. But yeah, he stays with her, and, you know, like that we see them, we see kind of their last moments together too, between Anchor and Ivan, and they're just talking, there's a lot of interesting conversations about faith.
He lies right down to the last breath.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. We lose Angel, right? We have a
very, very weak death.
Yeah, I wrote down, and I don't know if this is intentional, but I just wrote down he, like, every cliche of a character dying is what happens in that scene.
Yeah.
That he's like, I'm so weak, and
why would you love me?
Right. Yeah. It was just like cliche after cliche, I felt.
I agree.
But whatever, it worked for Romero. And maybe that's like, maybe the whoever this Romero person is. That's,
I mean, we still haven't gotten Romero's memory. We still haven't gotten Oleg's memory. They kind of show them in like brief moments.
Yes.
The snow is obviously Oleg's. And then the sand, I believe, is supposed to be Romero.
Yeah, because we see the cross on the ground. Right.
We'll probably get more of those in season 2.
Yeah, so Daniel opens the hatch and he's in a desert. And the cross is on the ground. And then the next shot, actually, the cross is on the ground on the boat itself. And that's when they're getting all the life jackets on. And that's when they talk about, you know, God's child and things like that.
Yep.
Then Daniel goes through the tubes, and now he's in winter, and he sees the Statue of Liberty postcard.
Right.
And then he rips open, like, the wall, and he's in the next tunnel. Right. So he's just going from he's going through, like, the inner tubes, and he just knows. Somehow he knows. Like, there's a little, like, circle thing that comes up that he's able to see, and that's how I think he knows that's where the next tube is. But I don't know how he kind of figures that out.
And then, like, the middle of all this, we see Mrs. Wilson find a letter for herself, finally.
Right. As people are starting to notice, like, they're like, are you sick? Like, why does your hand look like that?
And she looks, like, really excited to get this letter. Like, when Henry is watching the screens, like, they show she's the focus and, like, she has, like, a golden ticket.
And we see Ying Li see her mother. She goes out onto the bridge, and then Olek follows her. I was not expecting Olek to be the one to die in this, or to, you know, whatever, in this moment, to reset or respawn in this moment.
It's washed away.
Do you think that the people who are surviving by the end are that they are in the archive? Like, do you think there's, like, survivors in each archive ship, and they're going to see each other? Or do you think it's, like, why are these people still conscious as they're in, as
I don't know,
through the portal or the whirlpool?
Yeah, I don't think,
because there's 20 ships, and we don't see, and we see Ike is there, but I would be curious, are there people on the other ships, like, or is this part of something that changed, that these eight people or whatever survived the shutdown,
and then these eight people can come back and wake up the next crew?
Yeah, so that would be interesting if the way it restarts is somehow these eight people go, and then we have a Ying Li who's, like, awoken, right? An awakened Ying Li.
Is it Li Ying?
Ying Li. Ying Li.
Okay, I always get it backwards. It's amazing. Yeah.
Ling Yi. Is that what I said? No, that's it is Ling Yi. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Ling Yi.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody gets that one back. Ling Yi. Yes.
Yeah, Ling Yi. All right. And then, or, like, you know, or an awakened, you know, an awakened Jerome, right? Or Romero, Clements, like, these people. I'd be curious rewatching this, if these people who are the survivors, if there's some way that you could have, you know, if there's some foreshadowing, like, all of these people had triangles on them, right? I know Clements had those triangle earrings. Right. Maybe other people had some, you know, maybe there's triangle patterns on their clothing or something they wouldn't pick up on. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who survived, right? Yeah. On a rewatch, maybe so you'd spot some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and we lose Lucien. He has the seizure. He's unable to get the vial. I thought that was actually, like, the most emotional of the deaths.
Yeah, I guess. Like, it's like, okay, he died.
Because, like, Jerome and Clements take him back to the room to but they're not unable to save him. We also find out every simulation runs 8 days. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's, you know, we talked about different numbers. I wonder if there's a significance to it running 8 days.
Yeah. Hanukkah.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's how long the oil can last, is 8 days.
So, miracle shit.
All right. I think that's probably everything. I mean, we can do a little bit of, like, predictions. I know on Fargo we did a death draft, but I think a death draft is, like, I don't know if death, it's kind of like Westworld, where death isn't really a permanent. So I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah.
Is there a song you would like to hear, or a band you would like to hear in the last episode of the outro music?
I feel like we could use some, like, Led Zeppelin at this point. Mm-hmm. So maybe A Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably some Led Zeppelin song that would fit very well with, like, questioning your reality or something, you know, some, like heady, trippy music. I was thinking The Who maybe would be a good one.
Who Are You?
Yeah, who, or, like, that's a little on the nose, I think, but,
well,
like,
they've been using Beyond the
Nose.
This isn't
CSI. I don't know, like, Baba O'Reilly or, like, Teenage Wasteland or something like that, maybe.
Is there any song called, like, The Cave, in honor of Plato's cave, that's referenced in this also?
I don't know.
Because they talk about how, you know, that's referenced quite a bit with this whole simulation constructor. Like, it's like Plato's cave, and then you look behind and see who's making the shadows and realize, you know, what it is, type of thing. So
yeah, no, I don't know. I was also thinking maybe Pink Floyd, I don't think we've had any Pink Floyd yet. Yeah. But also, I think the thing with Led Zeppelin, I think I've heard Led Zeppelin is, like, very hard to license their music.
Oh, okay.
So it might just be a contractual thing that they, if they want Led Zeppelin, they can't get it.
On Netflix.
Yeah. All right. Who's your MVP for this episode?
MVP of this episode. I mean, we haven't really given it to her too much, so I'm going to give it to Maura here.
Okay. Maura hasn't gotten a single one. This is her first.
Yeah. Honestly, I think we take her for granted, and she's why we're all here. This is all in her head. And yeah, until she figures it out and remembers her pain, we're not going to get out of this. So, but yeah, it's clear that, like, she's the reason this is happening. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's the MVP. So the Maura Valuable Player
Award. Maura Valuable. Oh, nice. Okay. Well, you identified that he may be the key, maybe a scrambled version of the key. We only see him for a second, but I just am. This is like my Victor Wembanyama pick. I'm drafting him on future potential, but I'm going to take Ike as my MVP. I just think, like, he's the key. And there's the fact they held him out almost the entire penultimate episode, I think, is significant. He's going to play a huge role in the finale.
And reveal he's the stranger.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Ike is his initials, and Ike is Elliot Young Kid. Oh, maybe that's what it. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe the next cycle will start with all the cast of Dark showing up at dinner, eating, discussing.
There's no dining scenes in Dark. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So just to give an update, so Jerome, Daniel, Franz, and Ike all have two MVPs on the season. Angel, Lucien, Elliot, Tove, Father Romero, and Maura all have one.
Did you give Franz two MVPs?
I think we both gave Franz an MVP one episode.
I don't recall giving Franz an MVP. But
yeah, you call him Franz Westbrook.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did write down Franz Westbrook in my ass. We just compare everybody to all the NBA players. Do you have any, like, big predictions for the finale? Do you have a prediction of, like, who's... Do you think we're going to get a character-centric flashback to open the finale?
We're going to get a Henry flashback to start.
I think that is... I also think we're going to get
a... And we're going to find out who the brother is. And I think the brother is going to be a character we haven't met yet.
I think the brother is going to be Sebastian. Now, that just came to me. But do we know the brother's name? Do we ever get the brother's name?
You think the brother's name... Oh, you think the brother is Sebastian?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
I don't know if that would work, because the brother seems to be working... against Henry, and Sebastian is working for Henry. So
yeah. I don't think that's right, but I don't know. I think it's a character we haven't met yet, so maybe Jonas. I'm just kidding.
Yes, maybe. Could be any of these people. All right, I don't know if there's anything else to get into for this episode. Is there anything else that we haven't hit, or things you want to get off your chest before the finale?
I mean, the false memory thing, I just don't buy at all, like, with, you know, that Maura's just been implanted with a false memory that she couldn't have a kid and doesn't have a kid. Like, that to me still is, like, a big kind of question mark to me. A lot of glitching.
Yeah, we do get the glitching. We also get the White Rabbit, like, the baseline of White Rabbit at one point. Yeah. And we got that last time. When in the last episode where they said, you know, may your coffee kick in before reality or whatever that line was.
Yep.
And this time, you know, Maura, she sees Sebastian, she's talking to him about getting back on the, you know, about if Ike is back on the ship. And he's like, I thought he was on the ship. And she's like, oh, I mean the bridge. And then right after that, I think it's Maura says, think of it as a bad dream. And the baseline hits. So, you know, it happened again that we get that, like, just a little beat from White Rabbit. So the other thing we didn't really talk about was the Henry on the announcement, like on the loudspeaker towards the end. And that was when we got a big info dump there, too. And, you know, so that was towards the end of the episode. And this is where he's saying that he wants the key now. Right. That, you know, and he says to Daniel, I'm assuming it's to Daniel, he says, using the Prometheus to gain access was a smart move. So I think that's a clue also that the way Daniel is in this world, and we saw him come through the water, is that somehow he transported onto the Prometheus. So maybe it was like a way to get on there without being noticed. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit from that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still kind of confused as to what that meant,
though. Yeah, and he says everyone will take part in the next simulation. But Daniel is going to go and bring the key to Henry. So everyone will take part in the next simulation. I'll be curious if that means that, like, these people are respawn. Maybe we have doubles in the next episode. And like Inception, Daniel has his ring that he gives to Mara. So it's like his totem, basically. And it might be a thing to keep her to reality. I mean, there's just so much Inception in this show, the more I think about it.
Yeah, it's just a lot of tropes that have been kind of discovered and looked at and other similar types of
work. I don't mind that it reminds me of so many other shows. I think it's kind of fun to like spot a lot of my favorite properties like Inception, Lost, a little bit of Alias, things like that. So Dark. So all right, and then in the pyramid it's written Wake Up is written on the base of the pyramid when Henry opens it, and then there's the key. I'll be curious what happens when we gotta see that key go into the pyramid in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what will happen when that happens.
Yeah.
So.
No, a lot of stuff that I think this episode will make more sense after the next one.
Yeah. The whole season, maybe. All right. So we got an email from Steven before we go. And of course, if you have any emails, we're probably going to be recording the finale episode pretty quickly after this one sometime this weekend. So send your feedback to digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. Of course, if we get a bunch of emails, then after the finale, maybe we'll think about doing a feedback show. But we just got to have enough emails to do that. Otherwise, we can just read it on the next podcast. Steven says, I'm a bit behind you guys on the episodes, but I'm listening to the breakdowns as I go. I do not want to return to this is on the pyramid. I do not want to return to Tove's flashbacks for obvious reasons. However, something about that scene really struck me. While all of this was happening and the farmer was on top of Tove without his gun, her family members were motionless, almost behaved like NPCs, non-playable characters. I know not everyone is a fighter, but I feel like human nature is not to allow something like that to happen without an attempt of fighting back. I also think it adds to some very dark undertones to Tove's relationship with her family. No worries if I missed the boat on this discussion. I just thought it was worth bringing up. And it adds some depth to the show. So
no, I agree. There are definitely certain characters in the show who act more human than others.
Right. Well, and we talked about earlier, like, oh, maybe it was that you know, there's something you could identify the people who survived at the end of this episode. Like they all had some sort of pattern on them or something. But maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the people who died, if you go back to the early episodes, those are the people acting like non-playable characters and acting like robots on the show.
Yeah, I agree.
Or maybe it's like as simple as like Henry says, like, you know, they always act the same. They always act emotional. Maybe the people who died are the ones that were more emotionless, maybe more cold. So.
Yeah, I don't know, because like you see like Ling Yi's mom, she's pretty like one of the most emotional people on the show, and she walks over.
True.
Like, yeah. So like, yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think.
I also thinking back to Olek and Angel. Like they had that moment of kind of passion towards each other, right? I guess like they had the moment where, it wasn't Olek. Sorry, it was Crestor and Angel, right? That they met at the top of the stairs.
Oh, right.
And that was, I think that's interesting too, because both of them are dead now. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that's the only email that we got in for this episode. Again, digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. Since the next episode is going to be, everybody's going to be caught up to the same point. If you've already finished the season, send your feedback in and, let us know what questions you have. You can put the episode number in the subject line, although we don't have to worry about being spoiled at this point.
Right.
And yeah, let us know what you're thinking after the episode and who your MVP of the season was and, you know, what song you wish you'd have heard, any of that stuff. So, but yeah, one more episode. Oh, I don't love. Do you want to know the name of the finale title?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's see. 1899 episode 8. The title of that episode is The Key. Oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
So this one was The Storm. The next one is The Key. So we've had The Pyramid is episode 6, The Storm episode 7, The Key episode 8. wonder if there's a little bit of a not really a pattern with these titles at all. Mm-hmm. So, yep. All right, we're going to watch The Key. We're going to be back to talk about it, episode number 8, and the whole season will be wrapped up, and we can kind of look back at everything in retrospective.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, send your feedback in, and we'll be back in touch on this podcast soon. Ooh.